Well, welcome again. Great to have you in God's house. And thank you, Amanda and Terry, all of our music folks and everyone making worship possible this morning. We continue our series In the Footsteps of Jesus. And this morning we're looking at one thing. And we're in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And it's the story of Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, which will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, how many busy people out there? Busy people? Yeah, I know. And we can keep all these calendars and planners, and then you lose them. You don't know where you are. And then we, of course, have our phones, too. And where would you be without that? Because now it's all on your phone. And when Savannah was little, we used to drive a lot to Chicago and enjoy that. And in order to help her with the drive and to make me feel better about that, I got her one of those leapfrogs. Do you still have the leapfrog thing? It was a learning thing, you know what I'm saying? And she loved cell phones from the start. When she was just a kid, she got a plastic cell phone, and she'd just, you know, talk on the phone, have this whole long conversation. So I got her a leapfrog, and I tried to talk her into saying the leapfrog was like a cell phone, okay? And you could learn on it. And she did not fall for that one bit. And she, very good at debating this sort of thing, said, "Dad, you know, if I had the cell phone, I could make calls, and there's lots of learning aids on the cell phone, by the way, Dad." So finally, I got her a cell phone. And she took to that like, you know, a 16-year-old, only she was like six. But anyway, she loved that cell phone. And we took it, like, of course, everywhere. And then one day we were in Walmart shopping. And, you know, and we're in the clothing and everywhere else, grocery shopping. And she tried on some clothes, this and that, you know, thing. And we're on the way home, and she said, "Dad, my cell phone." I went like, "What?" She said, "I lost my cell phone in Walmart." You know, well, how big is that, right? That's before they had, like, locators on the thing. So, and honestly, it was all I could do to afford another cell phone. So we got a special deal on it. I said, "Well, I can't afford another one. We got to find that cell phone." So we started just, you know, rampaging Walmart. We didn't want to call because someone might steal the phone, right? So we're looking everywhere, probably tore the place apart. Finally found it in the clothes department in one of the shelves, man. And boy, we're thankful that we found the cell phone. But it was like, man, how many people are really hooked up to your cell phone? And do you know, in terms of busyness, if you think about how much time people spend on their cell phone a day, the average American? 3 hours and 15 minutes. I know, some of you, it's more than that. And I'm not just talking about teenagers, all right? And the average is looking at your phone, checking your phone 58 times a day. Seriously, I might be worse than that, as a matter of fact, personally. I'm just saying. But anyway, so many of us are busy doing so many kinds of things, good things, and we forget sometimes the most important things in life. And I think that's an important backdrop as we walk back into this story this morning. Because if we look at this story, Martha is one of those busy people doing good things. And so it really, the story is really part of two, actually, series. One, of course, In the Footsteps of Jesus, where we're in the Gospel of Luke here. And I've said before that some of the themes that you see highlighted in the Gospel of Luke are one of the role of women as followers of Jesus. And this morning is a great example of that, looking at Martha and Mary. And then the other series, and prayer as well, which is a big part of this story. And the other series is we're doing Dining with Jesus on Wednesday evenings. And of course, we're dining with Jesus at Bethany, the home of Martha and Mary. And so Jesus comes to this home of Martha and Mary. And we're told that Martha is busy preparing the meal. doing lots of things. And lots of things need to be done. Remember, this is before microwaves, microwave dinners. This is before lasagna at GFS, just throw it in the oven. This is like the whole thing, right? And in addition to the meal and all these preparations, there were all these customs of the ancient Near East that was very important. Like you had to provide towels for the person to have their feet washed and their separate place to have their hands washed and all these kinds of hospitality kinds of things. And we're told that Martha is busy doing all these kinds of things, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. How dare her, right? And so finally, Martha is so frustrated with her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while she does all this work that she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, Master, tell my sister to help me. And what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her. It is so beautiful, and it is so telling, something we all need to hear. Just put your name in the name of Martha, right? Martha, Martha, TJ, TJ, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better. And we're told that in almost all cultures, when you use the name twice of a person, it's a very loving and compassionate way of speaking. It is not a scolding way. So Jesus, in a very loving, compassionate way, says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Good things, by the way, but one thing is needed. By the way, in Scripture, the term one thing is only used five times. One thing is only used five times. This is one of them, and it may be the most important. And so Luke is whispering to us, and no doubt Jesus and the Holy Spirit are whispering to us this morning. In the busyness of the world, you know, so many of us are like Martha. We are whirling and twirling. We are anxious and troubled about good things. Martha was doing great things, not just good. Fixing dinner for Jesus and his disciples and all these other people that are there. And you all know that how wonderful, and thank God for the Marthas of the world, or nothing would get done, okay? Including the church. But we forget our priorities sometimes. In the busyness of life and doing so many good things, wow, our schedules are slam full. We're checking our cell phones, all the good things that are happening out there. But in the midst of this, we're often just like Martha, anxious and troubled about many things. Mary knew something that is so important for all of us, a secret to life, and that is the one thing, which is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I think when we do that one thing, we get at least three things in return. And the first is, I think when we sit at the feet of Jesus, we're renewed, we're restored in our spiritual lives, and that is so important. And when we're doing good things, you know, most of us, well, all of us, if we're honest, get exhausted of doing good things after a while. We become tired, and not just physically, but also spiritually, emotionally drained. And we need to sit at the feet of Jesus, whether it's early in the morning or whether it's late at night, just to collect ourselves and to be renewed and restored. God worked 6 days creating the world and rested on the seventh. God wasn't tired, but God was setting a really good example for us to be restored and to be renewed in all of our life, and I think that's so powerful and important. I love this psalm that we used for the call to worship this morning from David. I hope you'll just think about it. Psalm 37, there's lots of good psalms, but this is so great. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, there's the do good, but dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the vindication of your life like the noonday sun. But what's the key to it? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's at least four things in that short sentence that I have a real struggle with. I don't know about you, but if you're honest, one is to be. Oh, I'm so much better at doing. Anyone besides me? You're better at doing than being? You know, just be, right? In the presence of the Lord. Be still. Oh, I'm not a still person most of the time. I'm busy. In our noisy world, be still before the Lord. and before the Lord and wait patiently. Anyone besides me? Trouble with waiting patiently? I'm not a good waiter. I'm not patient. I try to be. I pray for it, but it doesn't happen. And be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's some people that use that as a mantra, by the way, that sort of say the sentence and then take off a phrase or word one at a time. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. And then be still before the Lord. And then be still and then just be, right? How hard is that? Well, it's really hard if we're honest with ourselves. But Mary knew that secret of being still before the Lord and just sitting at the feet of Jesus. She knew those things had to be done. And thank God, again, for Martha. But it was something that Martha and the disciples and all of us need to learn. All the good things. But in all the busyness, we sometimes forget to be still and wait patiently, listening to Jesus, listening to the still, small voice. So it restores us and renews us, and it strengthens us in a powerful, powerful way. And in this moment, as Amanda read that scripture that is so powerful from Philippians 4:13, and I think is so powerful, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I think the key is actually before that, all right? And so I waited to share that with you, and you may or may not know that. And I love Philippians 4 is one of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. And I read it at least once a week, and I try to pray it too, right? But the key starts earlier, rejoice in the Lord in all things. But then Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, that is so powerful. And then Paul gives a litany of all these things for you and me to have so much trouble focusing on the positive things. He said, if there's anything excellent or anything true, anything praiseworthy, anything noble, think on those things, and the God of peace will be with you. And then he goes on to say, to be content in all things, and then I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, it still comes back to Mary at the feet of Jesus, willing to sit there at the feet of Jesus and to be strengthened in that moment. If you're a workout person, you know that if you just go work out like crazy every single day, you'll never get stronger. And why is that? Because you break down the muscles and you don't have time to rest and grow stronger, right? So you need to work out and then you need to rest. There's a rhythm to that. I think that's true of our spiritual muscles too and our emotional muscles. If you're just working and working and doing good things, then you never really get a chance to grow. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you have a moment to strengthen your spiritual muscles so you can go into the other part, which is the Martha part. We all need Mary and Martha, right? But the priority sits with Mary. As Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better, right? And that will not be taken from her. And all of us need to hear that whisper of Jesus and the whisper of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So one thing that Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus restores and renews us, and it strengthens us, and finally it directs us. It directs us too. You know, in the busyness of life, right, and sometimes business analysts or, you know, sociologists have called a busyness syndrome. We have in all the world today, but America leads the way in the busyness syndrome. We're proud of our busy schedule and our busy life doing all these good kinds of things. But oftentimes we lose direction in life because we're just swirling like tops, you know, bumping into walls. And I think it's so powerful when we look at this moment where Mary is in this stillness, really, with all this activity happening around her, just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she feels the blessing of the Lord in a very powerful way. And I'm reminded of Elijah. We talked about Elijah last week, but Elijah, in a moment in his life, after a lot of victories, had this meltdown moment when Jezebel was after him to take his life, where, you know, he fled into the wilderness. The angel kind of picked him up on the way, and he went on to the mountain of God. But there in the cave of, you know, the Lord in Mount Sinai, where Moses was to get the Ten Commandments, then all of a sudden he hears this wind. It's a raging wind outside. And then he said the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there's the earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then God was, there was a fire outside there, some kind of raging fire. And it says God wasn't in the fire. And then he heard what? The still small whisper of God. And it said God was in the still small voice. And I think in that moment, Elijah, this great prophet, got direction. And God whispered to him sort of a moment of renewal, a re-inspiration to redirect his career after this breakdown, and set him to do a few things. And then one of the most important things was to go and to select his protege by name of Elisha and to mentor him in a way, and Elisha would be the one to carry on the work and mission and ministry of Elijah after Elijah was taken up to be with the Lord. But God guided and directed him in that moment with the still small voice of God. And I think it's this sort of a Mary moment, right? Because Mary was good at listening to the still small voice of Jesus. As Jesus taught, and Mary just sat at the feet and was inspired, right? Renewed and strengthened and directed in that moment that's so, so important. There's a great movie out by the name of City Slickers. I don't know if you've seen it. You got to go back a ways for this movie, City Slickers. Billy Crystal's in it, and Billy Crystal and his friends, they live in New York City in the hustle and bustle of life and have all these things, all these busy lives, and they're all having sort of a midlife crisis, right? And they decide what they're going to do is they're going to go to a dude ranch in, I guess, Montana or Texas or something like that, and they're going to do a cattle drive. None of them have even been on a horse before, right? They just need to get away and to do something different because they've lost direction on all the busyness of life. And so they get out there, and it's really hilarious. They learn to ride a horse and all this. But they're going to do this cattle drive, and the guy who's in charge of this is this cowboy. He's this older, tough, leathery cowboy. Hardly says a word, right? But amidst all of the things that are happening, whether it's threatened by wild animals or at one point they're crossing a raging flooded river and weren't sure the cattle would get across, and they were able to rescue this calf that was floating downstream and being washed away, and this guy remains so calm and still. And so they're talking around the fire later in the movie and say, man, what is it about this guy? He's just unbelievable. Nothing bothers him, you know? He just always seems to be, you know, the guiding force rising above it all. And so Billy Crystal goes to him and says, and he's up on this horse. Billy Crystal goes to him alone and says, well, we just want to know what it is, the secret to life. You know, we're in the midst of this midlife crisis and all these things, all these good things going on in life. But you seem to have the answer. What is the answer? And this cowboy gets a long, deep breath, and he says, it's one thing, one thing. And Billy Crystal says, well, what's the one thing? He says, one thing. And then he says, for me, the one thing is driving cattle. I don't know what the one thing is for you. You need to find your one thing. But when you do, you'll know it's the one thing. That's like a transformational moment for him, and he shares that with this guy. Ends up after the cattle drive going back, and his life's kind of changed by that. But I think for all of us to find this one thing that Mary found, the one thing, the first thing, the first priority in life is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to the Holy Spirit that guides and directs and uplifts us in a way that only sitting at the feet of Jesus will do. We do that in our morning devotions. We do that here in worship. But every day you can take a moment and sit at the feet of Jesus, just quiet, listening. So many times we have all these requests that are good requests, but the first thing is to listen, to be still before the Lord, and to know the goodness of God in the midst of the hectic world. We have so many needs where we are called to meet those needs, just as Martha did, but to have the Mary moment first, as a first priority. And I don't think that was lost on any of the disciples either, because what happens right after this in the Gospel of Luke? I'll tell you. The disciples go to Jesus. and ask Jesus how to pray. So I think they saw something in Mary. And Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. Jesus probably gave that prayer more than once, but Jesus shares the Lord's Prayer. Simple, beautiful prayer that offers the priorities of life for all of us. I think they saw something in Mary and in Jesus' words, and they saw themselves in Martha, as I myself do. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her. Can you hear God whispering your name in a loving way, in an encouraging way, from the busyness of life, and call you to a moment of stillness before the feet of Jesus to restore you, to strengthen you, to renew you? I want to close with a story that I love. And the story is of this father who is in a doctor's office with his younger daughter. And as sometimes happens in a doctor's office, they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. The little girl is getting fidgety and more fidgety. And finally, the father is frustrated and with their daughter, just wondering when the doctor's going to come. And so he saw this magazine cover, and the cover had a picture of the world on it. And so he tore the magazine cover out, or maybe not the best thing, and he tore the picture of the world up into little pieces and mixed them up, put them down on the table in front of the little girl and said, now you put together the picture of the world, and when you're done with that, we'll be ready for the doctor to see us. And so he went back to reading his newspaper and didn't pay much time, but in just a few minutes later, the girl said, hey, Dad, and here's the picture of the world. And the father said, how did you put together the picture of the world? You don't know where all the countries of the world were. And she said, oh, Dad, I realize there's a picture of a man on the other side. And when I put the picture of the man together, the world came together too. And I think it's a beautiful picture sometimes of the way we are. Our world is all seems torn apart with all kinds of things, of all kinds of needs, our personal world, the community, and of course the global world as well. But if we allow the picture of the Lord, that one person, to be put together in front of us, then all the rest of the problems and worries of the world will take their place and find their priority in that one thing. And that one thing is the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. I'm going to close with a poem that I love, and I think it's good for all of us. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems were tumbling about me, and harder became each task. I wanted God's help with my duties. He told me, you did not ask. I wanted to find joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. Why wasn't God helping me, I wondered. He answered, but you did not seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I tried all the keys at the lock. He gently but lovingly chided, my child, you did not knock. I got up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to find time to pray. Hear your name as Jesus whispers, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your love and grace and for your word. We're thankful for the lives of Martha and Mary and how you lead and direct us, Lord. Help us to discover amidst the busyness of the Martha in our life that we need Mary. We need to be like Mary and to sit at your feet for that one most important thing. As you renew us, as you strengthen us, and as you direct us. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen.